Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. One may sell books, or enlist life members, or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes out with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he is remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smaratavya satatam Vishnur vismaratavyo najatujit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and one must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Bilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swapatantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Very honored and grateful to be among you today. Thank you. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 1-1-3. This chapter is entitled The Process of Devotional Service. This section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is personally bringing each and every one of us into the presence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Sanatana Goswami. We are here on the banks of the river Ganga, Ganges, in Varanasi, listening to the conversation of Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Transcendental sound vibration is above and beyond all the material limitations, geography, or even time. By Srila Prabhupada's compassion, his great concern for all living beings, he's given us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with this complete conviction that these shastras, these scriptures, are living. They are historical in one sense, but they are living ever in the present moment. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are nitya lila, they are eternal. And whenever they are spoken or heard with sincerity and faith, then those pastimes are being enacted in the hearts of those devotees who are participating. But in order to hear properly, we must follow in the footsteps of those who are hearing in the Shastra. Srila Prabhupada taught us if we truly want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we must follow in the footsteps by imbibing the spirit of Arjuna. He wasn't just coming to take notes for a class he was going to give the next day. He wasn't coming out of curiosity to hear, you know, what Krishna has to say today. It wasn't a pious activity. It was the most important, urgent necessity of his life. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena seva. Garbanya doso bahata svabhava. With a spirit to serve, with a spirit to follow, to take shelter and hear this message. Srila Prabhupada told our dear godbrother Hayagriva Prabhu that there is absolutely no difference between Krishna speaking Arjuna, Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and me speaking Bhagavad Gita to you. But in order to understand that, to realize that, we must understand how this is the most important necessity of my life. When you're starving of food and water in a desert, you're not really very concerned with the daily gossip on the internet. It means nothing to you. You need water. It's life or death. Hearing and chanting is the water and the food that nourishes our souls. Our souls are starving for this. And by Krishna's mercy, the material world has been constructed in such a way to give us the opportunity to understand that. Just about 3 days ago, I was listening to a recorded lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He's speaking from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is where Parikshit Maharaj begins to ask his serious questions to Shukadev Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada was highlighting how Parikshit Maharaj, he knew he had only 7 days to live. There was nothing in his mind that was more important than to give his life to Krishna during these last 7 days. And the process was to be in the association of great souls and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada made a well-known remark that he spoke many times. Parikshit Maharaj knew he had 7 days. He was assured 7 days. But there is not a single person in this world that knows for sure that they have 7 days. Then he cited from the Mahabharata, where a yaksha, he asked Yudhisthira Maharaj a series of questions. Because Yudhisthira Maharaj was really thirsty. And the yaksha said, "You cannot drink the water till you answer my questions." And when you're really thirsty, sometimes you're not thinking logically. He was dying of thirst. Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, they couldn't wait to answer questions. They went to drink the water. And they all fell unconscious. It appeared they were dead. But Yudhisthira, mouth parched, desperately needing water, he turned to the yaksha and said, "Please ask your questions." And one of those questions, "What is the most amazing thing in all of this creation?" Yudhisthira Maharaj said, the most amazing thing is we see death all around us. So many people have died. So many people are dying. Everyone will die. But yet we're thinking, I'm not going to die yet. Srila Prabhupada clarified that this does not mean that such a person thinks he'll never die. But he's not taking it serious at the present moment that it could be. This is the most amazing thing. And that yaksha was Yamaraj in disguise. So if anyone knows about death in this material world, it's Yamaraj. And he understood what Yudhisthira is saying is the truth. It is the most amazing thing in creation. Sanatana Goswami, how he valued the knowledge he's being given. We cannot imitate him, but we can imbibe his spirit. He was the prime minister of an entire kingdom. He had such enormous wealth, beautiful palaces, incredible estates. As far as money goes, he could do anything he wanted with the money he had. He wanted to invite scholars to discuss the scriptures. He built a beautiful assembly house. Wonderful, wonderful guest facilities for all the scholars. He arranged for each and every one of them to have their own personal assistance. He was feeling separation from Vrindavan. He built a Nava Vrindavan. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, he built a new Vrindavan in Ramakeli, where he was living, along with Rupa Goswami. He had power, jewels, everything. But he left it because he was so eager to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami just left, along with their younger brother, Anupam. Sanatana Goswami, he was willing to be put in prison. And if you go to Ramkeli, that prison cell is still there. You can see. These days, if a prime minister gets put in prison, or a wealthy person, it's usually, you know, upper-class facilities. But he was put in an underground dungeon, and he was shackled with chains. Practically starving. He was willing to endure that. And then by his good intelligence, he somehow or other escaped from the prison. And one day he's the prime minister, the most popular and powerful person in the entire kingdom. And the next day, he's a fugitive. He's wearing nothing but rags. He's emaciated. He's dirty from living in an underground hole. And he's running through the jungles trying to escape. And in Varanasi, he meets with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was on his way. He was going to meet Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya had already been in Vrindavan for 2 months, and now he was on his way back. So he missed the chance of being in Lord Chaitanya's presence in Vrindavan. But he met him in Varanasi, which was at that time the capital of the Mayavad conceptions. It was very different than
his hopes of seeing Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. But wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that is Vrindavan. For 2 months, every day, all day, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami. The beginning of the teachings is Srila Sanatana Goswami is offering his prostrated obeisances, dandavats. He was so humble. He didn't even feel the strength to stand up in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya had to lift him up and embrace him. Please don't imitate that. Because he meant it from the core of his heart. And Lord Chaitanya recognized that. Sanatana Goswami, he said to Lord Chaitanya that I am in such a suffering, miserable situation. I do not know who I am. I do not know why I am suffering these threefold miseries, miseries connected to the body, miseries inflicted by other living beings, or those from natural disturbances. And yet, I have the audacity, the ego, that people call me a great learned scholar, a pundit, and I believe them. But I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what my real purpose of life is. I've come to you, surrendering to take shelter. Please instruct me. This is the same mood in which Arjuna inquired from Krishna in Kurukshetra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded, telling Sanatana Goswami, please, don't speak this way. Your humility is breaking my heart. Breaking the heart of the Lord. What is in the heart of Lord Chaitanya? Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna has come in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the loving, ecstatic sentiments of Sri Radharani. The ultimate supreme love. He's the Chanda Avatar. He's come in a beautiful golden complexion, Sri Radha's complexion, to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love, to understand the happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love. To understand what it is about himself that gives Sri Radharani an unparalleled happiness that he cannot even conceive. This is the innermost secret of all secrets that's within his heart. Sanatana Goswami's humility broke his heart. He broke open that treasure chest for that treasure could just flow out through the words of Lord Chaitanya, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that you are fit to be my guru. You already know everything. But just for the sake of strictness, you are humbling yourself in this way and inquiring from me. Sanatana Goswami, he could not accept that. I don't know anything. This is knowledge. Knowledge is sometimes compared to light. If you're in total darkness and you light a candle, it really makes a big difference. It illuminates the room. But if you take that same candle at noon, in one of those rare days in London when it's no clouds, and you offer that candle to the sun, it's insignificant. It's the same light, but it's relative. So when we feel ourselves in the presence of Krishna, mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are infinitesimal part and parcels of Krishna, eternal servants of Krishna forever. That is our eternal nature. When we're among people who are in darkness, and when we ourselves are very much in darkness, if we have a little knowledge, we think, oh, just see how much I know. See how many verses I can quote. See how many stories I can tell. See how much philosophy and logic I can defeat my opponents with. See how wise and practical I am and how I can guide people in their everyday lives. And we all have our... Prabhupada has given us all light. He's given us infinite light. Because it's coming from the infinite. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashjana. Krishna tells, I know everything that's happened in the past. I know all things that are happening now. I know everything that will ever happen in the future. I know intimately, intricately, every thought, every action, every word of every living being of all species throughout all existence. I'm seated in everyone's heart. Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. I am the knower of the Vedas. I'm the author of the Vedas. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Aham sarvasya prabhava manta sarvam pravartate. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. What is Krishna's knowledge? We could be proud if we compare ourselves to other beings here. Or we could be depressed because we just don't know enough. But when we're in the presence of Krishna, we realize we're insignificant. But that doesn't make us sad. That makes us happy. It makes us supremely happy. Because our happiness is in Krishna's infinite glories. Our happiness is no longer in what I can do. Our happiness is in what Krishna could do. We like to tell our own what I have done, what I have accomplished. But when we taste the param drishtva anivartate, the higher experience of hearing and talking about Krishna's lila, it's infinite. Chanting Krishna's names, it's ever increasing. So the more we actually have an experience of God, a true experience of God, the humbler we become. Krishna's glories, Lord Chaitanya said, it's like an ocean with no shores and no bottom. It's limitless. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he compares Krishna's glory to the entire space of all spiritual and material worlds, the sky. And the best we could be is a little bird. Some birds fly higher than other birds, but how much of the infinite sky can a bird cover? So how much can we know Krishna? Only to whatever extent Krishna reveals himself to us. Lord Chaitanya said that experience of happiness and that knowledge of Krishna, even one portion of a drop from that ocean can completely flood the entire universe. That's Krishna. Sanatana Goswami was standing before Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. He understood by Lord Chaitanya's mercy who he was, and therefore he felt himself to be most insignificant. This is true, genuine humility. Lord Chaitanya begins his extensive teachings with a simple foundational principle. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. Our eternal constitutional nature is that we are servants of Krishna. Then he built this entire philosophy on that simple foundation. And of all the recorded instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke to Rupa Goswami at Prayag for about 10 days. At the banks of the Godavari River in Kavur, Vidyanagar, he spoke to Sri Ramananda Rai. In Varanasi, he had a historical discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati in Puri with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. These are some of the most described dialogues Lord Chaitanya had. But far more in depth is our Sanatan Shiksha. For 2 months, in Srila Prabhupada's original Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the instructions to Sanatana Goswami covered several volumes. In today's verse, Lord Chaitanya is encapsulating everything in the most simple and profound way. He is quoting from Padma Purana. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. To always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna. Whenever there was an occasion of devotees taking vows for initiation, for marriage, Srila Prabhupada would commence the occasion with the recitation of the verse, Om Apavitra Apavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopisma Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabhayabhyantara Suchi. That whether one is in a pure state or an impure state, or even having passed through all situations of life, if one remembers the very beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes purified both within and without.
the essence of everything, to remember Krishna. Because Krishna is pavitra. He is supremely pure. And whatever comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada gives examples of fire. If you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire because of the association. Put that iron rod in ice and it becomes cold like ice. So when we remember Krishna, we are in the presence of Krishna. Krishna is not different than any of the transcendental means by which he helps us to remember him. The deities of Sri Sri Radha, Gokulananda, Radha Landaneshwar, Krishna has appeared in these forms. Sri Radha is present. And by seeing the deities, by remembering the deities, by praying to the deities, we are in a direct connection with Krishna. But it must be done through the grace of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The greatest friendship we can extend to one another is to help each other remember Krishna. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, man manabhava mad bhakto madhyashim nam namaskuru. This is the spirit of surrender, to always think of Krishna. Become his devotee, worship him, offer homage unto him. In this way, Krishna says, you will come to me without fail. Antakali chamamevas manan mukva kalevaram. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, one who remembers me at the time of death will attain me without fail. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tijatyante kalevaram tam tam evaite konteya sadatat bhava bhavataha. Whatever we remember at the time of death, that we will attain. Srila Prabhupada, in this wonderful purport, is on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, giving us this most treasured gift of the most simple and directly accessible way of remembering Krishna in any circumstance. By chanting Krishna's names. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Krishna is personally present in his name with all of his potencies. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur told that simply by taking shelter of Krishna's name attentively, without offense, one becomes purified. Cheto tarpanam marajanam bhava mahadavagni nivapanam. And as we become purified, Krishna reveals through his name. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigrahi, his eternal threefold bending form, his qualities, his pastimes, his eternal associates, his transcendental abode of Vrindavan. If we simply learn how to chant the holy names with this type of sincerity and attention in a service attitude, through the name Krishna reveals everything. Srila Prabhupada had such total faith in the name of Krishna, the power of the name of Krishna, which is not different from Krishna, to purify the hearts even of the lowest persons. That was the basis of the Hare Krishna movement. Dina hina yatachilo harinamu tarilo tarasakshi jagai madai.
Narottam Das Thakur has prayed that the power of the holy name can deliver anyone, everyone. And the testimony of this is Jagai and Madai. Next week is the appearance day of Lord Balaramji. Prajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Shuta Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nitai. The son of Nanda Maharaj, Shamsundar, Gokulananda, Krishna, has appeared as the son of Sachi. And Balaram appears as Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives us a glimpse of the background to this historical event of the deliverance of Jagai and Madai. And in doing so, is giving ultimate hope for everyone. That beautiful prayer.
Nadiya godrume nityananda mahajan pratyache namahata jivira karan.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu has opened up a marketplace of the holy names to deliver to the highest destination of transcendental happiness even the lowest, most fallen and confused jivas of this Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya called for Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and said, I want you to go into the streets and the villages of Nadia and Navadweep. Everyone you meet at the bathing ghats, at their homes, in the shopping places, and simply give them this message. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur would go to people's homes, to Brahmins' homes. To business people's homes, to homes that were considered by the society to be untouchables. They did not discriminate who was fit, who was unfit, which place was suitable, which place was unsuitable. They were simply giving, and the only qualification was to sincerely accept. They would go to someone's house, and with tears in their eyes, folded palms, after bowing down to these people, they would give this message of Lord Chaitanya. Chant Krishna's names, worship Krishna, and accept the instructions of Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Sarvadan. Krishna is your eternal true mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is the treasure of your life. Jivedoya Krishna Nama Sarvadharmasar. To be an instrument of compassion to the fallen souls. To take shelter of Krishna's holy names. These two comprise the very essence of all dharma, of all religion, of all occupation. It's very simple. But we are endlessly being distracted. In this world, Maya, the illusory energy, is constantly engaged and convincing us of other alternatives, giving such value and importance to these alternatives. But truly, just to remember Krishna is the treasure of our life. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear the story of Prahlad Maharaj. He was the embodiment of the perfection of life that is attained through remembering Krishna, Smaranam. After Narada Muni tells Yudhisthira Maharaj this whole story about little Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, he had so many troubles. Nothing was easy for him. 5-year-old boy, he could have just minded his own business. But he was so compassionate. Every time his father would ask him, please tell me, what is the best thing you learned in school? Prahlad could have said, mathematics. And his father would have been very happy. Oh, the whole kingdom is yours. Little Prahlad was so, he didn't want to mislead his father. Because he was tasting the sweetness of bhakti, he had to share it. That's the nature. If you're tasting the sweetness of bhakti, you want to share it. Because it's the nature of the soul to please Krishna. And there's nothing that pleases Krishna than giving others Krishna by helping them remember Krishna. He told his father that you are in a deep, dark well where there's only suffering. He said, unless you take shelter of Krishna and go to Vrindavan, there's no hope for you. Actually, my father, you're hopeless unless you completely cover your body, you bathe your body in the dust of the feet of those who love Krishna and have no material attachments. This was the ultimate insult to Hiranyakashipu. He tried to kill Prahlad. Prahlad didn't try to defend himself. There was the most powerful military in the entire universe is at the hands of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu himself, he raised his eyebrows and the demigods would run away in fear. So powerful. Little Prahlad is preaching to his father, just remember Krishna and you will be happy. So after telling this wonderful story of Prahlad, Narada Muni, who is Prahlad's guru? This is something so wonderful. When Prahlad was just an embryo in the womb of his mother, Narada Muni saved his life. Literally. Indra and the Devatas had his mother captive. And as soon as Prahlad was born, they were going to murder him. But Narada Muni came and said, no, this little child is a Mahabhagavat. Let me take care of them. And Narada Muni instructed Prahlad and his mother, and his Prahlad heard everything in the womb. He owed everything to Narada Muni. But yet Narada Muni is so much with his heart of hearts, putting himself in a lower position than Prahlad, although he's his guru. He's praising He says to Yudhisthira Maharaj that wherever there's great persons who are discussing the highest truths, the topic of Prahlad will be there. He didn't say the topic of me will be there. What did Prahlad do? He simply remembered Krishna always. Narada Muni, in this, he describes how Kamsa attained perfection by remembering Krishna in fear. Shishupal attained perfection by remembering Krishna in envy. The Yadus, they remembered Krishna always because of their family relationship. The Pandavas were always remember Krishna in affection. The Gopis, they were always remembering Krishna in their passionate desires to love him and to serve him. Krishna is supremely pure. In any way we could fix our mind completely in remembering Krishna, we become liberated, we become purified. There's different levels of liberation. Narada Muni, genuinely, he's so humble, he was thinking himself less advanced than Shishupal. Because Shishupal was so obsessed in remembering Krishna with envy. Narada Muni was, to be so absorbed in Krishna is very special. Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, in that beautiful verse at the beginning of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he tells that we should accept what's favorable for devotional service. We should reject what's unfavorable. We should remember Krishna in a favorable way. But we find Agasura. He was so cruel, so envious, such a demon. He took the form of a massive serpent, opened his mouth with the intent to kill Krishna, to kill all the cowherd boys of Vrindavan and all the calves, knowing that if all the calves die, the mother cows and bulls, fathers, they will all die. And all the elder gopis and gopas will die if their children die. He came to exterminate the entire life of Vrindavan. Very evil intention. An associate of Kamsa. And he had such a strategic plan to carry out that mission. And the cowherd boys, they danced in his mouth out of curiosity to see what was inside. And even Krishna was watching them dancing and smiling. They were all smiling and waving to Krishna as they were going in Aga's mouth. And Krishna, he's going to swallow them all. And after they were all inside, Krishna himself entered. Then, but it was much more dramatic than that. That massive mouth, his lower lip was on the ground, his upper lip was in the clouds. It suddenly closed. In the mouth of Agasura, the cowherd boys, when they were going in, they were just describing, you know, what it was like. And one of them said, "What is that fishy smell?" It was the corpses of all the dead bodies in there that he ate. Bad breath.
to the maximum extent. So they're inside now, and the mouth is closed. There's no air. It's pitch complete dark. And all the cowherd boys, they can't live in that. They died. They just fell unconscious. Krishna, if we notice, Krishna in his Vrindavan Leela, he always killed the demons, liberated them in a very ordinary way. Extraordinary, but ordinary in the sense that he just did it out of his play. Narasingadev with a very gigantic form that came out of a pillar. Varahadev, he was for Hiranyaksha, he could hold the earth on his tusks, in the boar form. So in various avatars, the Lord manifests so many opulences. But for Putana, Krishna didn't become big. He was just a little tiny infant baby, and he just sucked her breast and squeezed them. And that's all that was required. Shakatasura, this ghostly Rakshasa demon, took the form of a car to kill Krishna. And little Krishna was just a few months old. He couldn't even, he was hardly even crawling yet. His mother laid him under that cart, and the cart was about to kill him. And he just cried. And when he cried, he just moved his foot, and that tiny little soft lotus-like foot touched this massive cart, and he was dead. He was liberated. Trinavarta, this whirlwind comes on Krishna's first birthday, and Krishna doesn't change his form. He's just a little baby, and he goes way, 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 way up in the sky with Trinavarta, and then he just takes his arm and squeezes the neck of this asura and assumes a heavier weight, same little size. He comes to the ground, was liberated, crashed to the ground. Bakasura, gigantic bird in the form of a crane with massive beak. He leaps at Krishna. His body was like a mountain. He eats Krishna. He swallows Krishna. Krishna just increases the heat of his body in Baka's throat, and Baka can't tolerate it. He vomits. Krishna's so creative. He comes out of the beak and in the vomiting of regurgitation of Baka and lands on the ground, and then Baka's trying to stab him with his massive beaks. Krishna and the cowherd boys are all watching. It's very, very exciting. They're not thinking Krishna's God. They're just thinking Krishna's our friend. In fact, Sri Dama, I defeat Krishna in wrestling. I'm just a gopa, and Krishna is defeated by me. And all the gopas know that. Yes, it's common knowledge. Sri Dama defeats Krishna in wrestling. So many times in games, Krishna's side loses. That's among themselves. But when there's an asura like Baka, who's the size of a mountain, whose beaks are many stories in size and razor sharp, is trying to pierce Krishna again and again, they know this is Krishna. And Krishna just takes the beaks with his little hands and opens it and bifurcates.
So many wonderful pastimes like this. But here, nobody could see Krishna. So the one time he actually manifested a certain opulence of changing his form in Vrindavan, he became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until Agasura could not breathe. He was suffocating Agasura by completely blocking the passage of air. Nobody could see this because the cowherd boys were all dead and everyone else was outside. So when Aga died, his mouth kind of flapped open and Krishna glanced upon all the calves and the gopas and they all came alive. And they were just very happy. It's like they got nice rest. They were playing all morning and they can get nice rest. They were all refreshed. And they all danced out of the mouth of Aga. And Krishna stayed inside. After everyone else was out, Krishna came out in the light of the spirit, the jiva of Aga, entered into Krishna's body. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he was given liberation in the Lord's eternal abode to be an eternal associate of Krishna. Why? Because just as he was so envious, so cruel, he came to kill everyone. But the cowherd boys were so blissful when they went into his mouth, there was an instant where he was actually appreciating the cowherd boys' blissful, fearless happiness. And because he died remembering Krishna and remembering the cowherd boys in an appreciative way, just by that moment of remembrance, he went back home, back to Godhead. Ajamil was face to face with Yamadutas, but he remembered the name of Narayan, and he was given a chance for the highest perfection. After that experience, he was given a little longer time to live, and he didn't waste a moment. He went to a holy place to constantly remember Krishna by constantly chanting the holy names. Thakur Bhaktivinoda has prayed, I have seen and considered all the 14 worlds, and I have concluded that except your holy name, Krishna, nothing could save me. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. He has declared the prime benediction for all humanity is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he cites from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kalera dosanide raja nastiheku mahanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga parambrachet. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. We can see the progress of Kali in our own lives, how the degradation of practically everything is happening in the society. So much pollution in people's minds, extending to become pollution in the way they act, the way they talk. And what they're doing to the world. The pollution of selfish lust, anger, envy, greed, arrogance, illusion. These are the attributes of Kali Yuga. But there's one benediction that simply chanting Krishna's name one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam tells that the great sages and rishis, they worship Kali Yuga as the best of all ages. Because the Lord comes in his most merciful, munificent personality of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And simply by the chanting of the holy names, even the most sinful can become purified, can attain the highest destination. It's the matchless gift. It's the greatest of all treasures. People work so hard for some money, but it cannot bring happiness, it cannot bring peace, it could bring some relief from suffering on one level, but still, no matter how famous we become, no matter how healthy we are, no matter how wealthy we are, no matter how much first class best entertainment we experience, Dukalaya Mashashwata, we're still incomplete and we still have to suffer because everything's temporary. We can marry the person of our dreams, but it's not enough. We're going to end up arguing with them and disagreeing with them and causing each other suffering. And even if it's not so much, either they die or we die. That's the way the world is created. Everything is fleeting. Govinda Das prayed, E dana jovana putra padijana ite keyache tarapitire kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajahun hari padani tire. All these things of this world, my wealth, my home, my family, my body, what are they like? They're like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. At any moment, it slips away. And if you see a lotus leaf, when that water slips away, there's no trace that it ever existed. That's the nature of everything in this world. And of course, we have to work. We have to be responsible. Grihasthas, so many examples of grihasthas who make a living, but they do it with integrity. They do it remembering that it's our purpose is Krishna. Because we understand that these things really have no value. They're just things we have to do. The only thing that really has value is remembering Krishna, because it awakens the soul. And the ultimate value is in the holy name of Krishna, because Jeev Jago, Goda Chandra Bole, Kota Nitra Jayomaya Pisachira Kole. We could wake up from the slumber of ignorance and suffering and realize that Krishna's within our hearts, that we're eternally the lover of Krishna and Krishna's eternally our lover. That is the truth. So what is more important to invest our time and energy in than chanting Krishna's names? But Srila Prabhupada in this purport is very emphatic. He's saying the spiritual master gives many instructions, but of them, the most important is the chanting of the holy names. And he's telling for the neophyte devotee. Sometimes we think when I become very advanced, I'll chant 16 rounds. But Prabhupada's saying for the neophyte devotee, the most essential and crucial of all instructions is to chant at least 16 rounds every day. By this calculation, what does it mean to not be a neophyte anymore? It means to be chanting Krishna's name 24 hours a day.
this is what Srila Prabhupada is revealing in this purport. So encouraging. Because it really gives us, it's simple. We could do it if we just make it a priority. The basic principle of problems in devotional service is when we make other priorities above remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. And we have so many other responsibilities. And we must tend to those responsibilities. If we're parents, we have to take care of our children. We have to give them love. We have to give them so many facilities, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But we can't give them the most important thing unless we have it ourselves. If we want to inspire compassion, we have to be compassionate. If we want to inspire others to have a taste for chanting, we have to take seriously developing a taste for chanting. Yes, we will die at any moment. That's inevitable. What is really the most important thing in life? Srila Prabhupada's giving this wonderful purport where he's saying, we have many duties. Some are grihasthas who are working to take care of their family, but they have their sadhana, they chant their 16 rounds, they live with integrity and character. And in this way, they harmonize everything in the remembrance of Krishna. And Prabhupada says there are those who are distributing books, and those who are making life members. But in doing so, they're distributing Krishna's books, so they're remembering Krishna. And when they're making life members, they're just talking about Krishna, so they're remembering Krishna. So it's very important, not just what we do, but the quality in which we do it. Atapumbir dvijastrishtas varnashrama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshana. The success of whatever we do is that Krishna's pleased. And what pleases Krishna? When we remember him, Krishna's always remembering us. His love, he never leaves our hearts. Even if you do the most terrible things and you take your next birth as a worm, we offer all respects to worms too. But even in that worm body, even in a mosquito body, Krishna's still with you as the Paramatma. He never forgets us. He's always waiting for us. But we have so many tendencies to forget Krishna. And if we just, Prabhupada said, Krishna, if we just remember Krishna in a positive way, if you take one step toward him, he will take 10 steps to you. In one beautiful lecture, Srila Prabhupada, it was actually a room discussion. He was talking about his father, Gaur Mohan Day. He said, my father used to tell me when I was a little boy that you only have two hands, but Krishna has 10 hands. Actually, Krishna has limitless hands, but for a little boy, that's hard to understand. Krishna has 10 hands. And if Krishna wants to take something away from you, you only have two, and he has 10. There's nothing you can do. Krishna will take it all away. And then he said, and if Krishna wants to give you, he's giving with 10 hands and you only have 2 little hands to receive it. And Srila Prabhupada explained when he grew older how he understood the wisdom of his father. He gave many years in Krishna consciousness as an exemplary householder. He surrendered his life, his heart, his soul to his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. He was constantly remembering how to fulfill the order of his guru, to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language all over the world. But still, he had a family, so he was doing, he had a pharmaceutical business. Sometimes he was in Kolkata, other times he was in Allahabad. He shifted to Mumbai, just a few blocks from Radha Gopinath Temple, actually. And then his most trusted employees stole everything from him. Suddenly one day he had nothing. He had his children, he had his wife, he had so many obligations. He had no more business. He had no more products. Everything was just gone. And he remembered his father saying, if Krishna takes away, he has 10 hands. You can, whatever security guards we have, whatever technological security devices we have, everything can be taken away at any moment. And he was seeing Krishna. He was simply remembering Krishna in that situation. He talks about when he was in Calcutta and the Japanese were, during World War II, were bombing Calcutta. And there were air raids and people were screaming and running. People were running to the air raid shelters. And Prabhupada was cooking puris for the deities. Some people were running, Abhai, Abhai, the bombs are dropping, come to the air raid. And Prabhupada said, he saw that Krishna had come in the form of the bombs. And he was making puris to offer to Krishna. Abhai, fearless. Abhai charanaravindare. Bhajahuremana Srinandanandana. We pray to our mind, please remember Srinandanandana Krishna, because then you become fearless. Just to remember Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada, in that same talk, he explained, I came to New York City. I left Calcutta on the Jaladut and came to New York City with the equivalent of $7. And he said, I did not know anyone. I didn't know where to go, what to do. Krishna had taken everything away from me. Anjaladutta even took his health away from him. He had heart attacks. But Srila Prabhupada then said, but now, tens and thousands of devotees, hundreds of centers, millions of books. He said, Krishna's giving with 10 hands, just like my father said. So what's really important is to remember Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they established the Sankirtan movement with this simple principle, to help people to remember Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Balaramji, the all-powerful original guru, he's coming to each and every one of us with folded palms, with tears in his eyes, begging, begging for just one donation. Just remember Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Siksha. And how to remember Krishna? Chant his holy names. worship Him in whatever we do and hear His instructions. To speak from this verse is a most exalted responsibility, and I have no qualification. I'm just a little kind of baby bird without wings, just looking up into the sky and trying to chirp whatever little I've learned from the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Please, everybody, assist Srila Prabhupada's great mission and Vaisheshika Prabhu's wonderful efforts by Bhadra Purnima, buying a set of Srimad Bhagavatams and giving it as a gift on this full moon day of the month of Bhadra. If we make priorities pleasing Prabhupada and Krishna, then we could somehow or other orchestrate all other concerns in life in harmony with that. And this is a beautiful chance. Plus you get a golden book stand. And that gold is more precious than any other type of gold. Because it's the setting for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.